I'm Dawn.
And I'm Cole.
And Scottish Murders is a true crime podcast dedicated to people from or living in Scotland.
Just like anywhere else in the world, these murders can be truly horrific and shocking, and we want to shine more light upon them.
Join us every 2 weeks on Scottish Murders, where we'll bring you cases both solved and unsolved, giving you an insight into the other side of Bonnie Scotland.
Find us wherever you stream your podcasts, as well as on social media.
Join us there. Bye.
Police, open the door.
Foxbox detectives create immersive cold case files that are delivered right to your door. Join the thousands worldwide that have already taken on the challenge to solve a realistic murder case. The truth to these crimes are hidden in a web of deceit. Trust no one. Your case file is packed with police documents, cryptic codes, and access to our online evidence database. So, how does it work?
Inspect the evidence. Eliminate your suspects. Convict a killer.
It takes a talented investigator to solve a murder case from Foxbox Detectives. Have you got what it takes? Then grab your cold case file now and begin your investigation. Head to foxboxdetectives.co.uk.
Welcome to Mum's Mysteries and Murder. I'm Marty and there's no Effie because today we have a very special guest that I'm very excited about, especially for Halloween. I am incredibly excited about this guest. Today we have John, who is from North Edinburgh Nightmares. We actually met through Instagram, but I've also done numerous walking tours with John around Edinburgh. But John also has a YouTube channel, a folk music collaboration, books published. Oh my God, how have you got time to do all these things, John? Welcome to the podcast.
Cheers, good to be here.
Would you like to tell us a little bit about like the walking tours especially and all the other stuff that you've got going on? Because it is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, certainly. I've been doing North Edinburgh Nightmares for a while now, and along the way we've culminated, you know, three books. We've culminated various collaborations with magazines, and we've also done several ghost walks. And the ones in 2023, you know, we've done a brand new one. So the first one we did was in the Trinity area, and it was titled Things That Go Bump in EH5. And it covers, you know, the sort of Wardy Bay being the main stretch and the sort of some of the older ghost stories from the area. So there's ones from as far back as the 50s. There's ones, you know, even beyond that. That go up to quite modern stories. You know, 2009 was the most recent, I think. That was a good one. After that, we did one, and it was called Nightmares of the New Town, which starts at Dean Village. It goes down through the New Town and ends at Stockbridge, St. Stephen Street. And again, it's got a lot of older stories. You've been on that one, haven't you?
Yeah, Effie was on that one as well. We loved. That was a really good one. I think that's my favourite so far. Yeah.
Yeah. We did a couple of special ghost walks for Valentine's Day and things, and that was at Crammond.
Very romantic.
I don't think we had a name for that one, but there was a YouTube story all about it, something about the Fourth Estuary, shadows across the Fourth Estuary or something. So we had not a huge abundance of stories from there, so we've only done that one twice. And this year, the big one was Portobello.
Yes, well, I haven't been on that one, but I've been watching your Instagram and you seem to have a billion people coming to that one. That is so popular, that one.
It has been a runaway success. It really has. So that's been, I mean, we didn't know how to, you know, how it would go. It's my collaborator, Kerry, who's from Portobello, who, you know, came up with a lot of the ideas for that one. And she's the sort of second tour guide on it. It's not predominantly on the promenade. That's the thing. A lot of people think it's going to be a walk along Portobello Prom, but it's not. It's in the back streets, it's in the alleyways, it's in the graveyards, and a bit on the promenade as well.
Where all the best ghost stories are, isn't it? The back alleys and the graveyards. Yeah. We should say, because we have a lot of American listeners, Portobello is a huge beach, isn't it, in Edinburgh?
Yes, it's a huge beach. That was, it was separate. It was a borough of Edinburgh up to, this is terrible, I can't remember the exact date, but possibly 100-odd years ago. Much like Leith, when Leith was independent from Edinburgh. You know, Queen's Ferry and Portobello were similar boroughs. They weren't exactly part of Edinburgh. So it's got a lot of good history because of that. But it's a massive sort of stretch of the coast, also known as Edinburgh's seaside. So when we did that, that went down incredibly well with some of the stories there. And a lot of people have the same response. They say, I didn't know half these locations existed. So I've never been here in my life, these little back streets and alleyways and parks and cemeteries and stuff. And it's been a great success. We did that for 6 months. And the last one in September. And then due to public demand, we've brought it back for Halloween.
A ghost walk.
So we've got two more on the 20th and 29th of October, just for people who want to do the walk in the dark, because it was of course it was over the summer months, it was nice and bright and stuff, you know.
And it's a different vibe, I think Halloween was actually the first time we did a ghost tour with you. I feel like I've known you for ages now, but it was only last Halloween that I met you, we came to the tour. That was fantastic. And people were dressed, everyone was dressed up.
Yes. Well, this one we're doing at Portobello for Halloween. We encourage fancy dress, we encourage people to bring their dogs in fancy dress. Yeah. There's a prize for the best fancy dress.
Amazing. So
it's going to be a lot of fun now. But it is selling fast. I'd say to anybody, if you want to come, you have to get your tickets sooner than later for that one.
Mm-hmm. And you have kids as well on your tours, don't you? Because as much as they're a little bit creepy, they're not gore, they're not really gore fests or anything like that, are they?
No, I mean, I find that the best response we've had is of the kids. And believe it or not, the ones that have came on our walks, the gorier the better. So I always do a kind of parental warning thing before I speak to any parents and say, you know, this is quite a gory story. You okay? Do you want me to sit this one out? Not a chance.
Kids love all that stuff, though, don't they?
They really do. Yeah. So we've had no complaints so far. You know, we were always waiting for somebody to say, you know, you're not from Portobello. What do you know about it? But Kerry's, you know, sixth generation, so she's my backup.
And tell me about your books.
Yeah, so we've got three books. I've got one of them at hand just now, two of them in the other room. The first book we did was called North Edinburgh Nightmares, and it was a culmination of stories that I'd kind of heard over the years. I mean, the first story I ever heard was when I was a kid. My granddad was an incredible storyteller, and he was also a merchant seaman. He was a trawlerman, and he had all these great stories from his trips abroad and, you know, sailing boats. And the one that he always remembered, he told was a ghost story, a nautical themed ghost story that I think you may know, that we told on one of the tours about the mysterious 13th crewman.
Oh, yes, I do know. I loved that one. That was amazing.
So after that, you know, over the years, you know, I heard more stories from local people and other stories from, you know, places from where I grew up. And I thought, nobody really has these documented. So that was the first book I did, was I want to get some of the lesser known tales down on print. And they've been a runaway success as well. The second book was kind of, you know, from other parts of the city. It was some of the, like, things on the other ghost walks you've been on, like the Newtown one, stories from Leith, stories from Portobello, Queen's Ferry, and many other things. We covered a chapter about the cinemas, chapter about the pubs in Edinburgh with ghosts, and that was called Beyond North Edinburgh Nightmares, and that one was another big hit. And this year I brought out this one, which is, it's hundreds of miles away, Haunted Realms of Surrey and Hampshire.
What made you decide to go that way then? That's interesting.
I'd spent many years down there, having family down there. And I was, you know, down for visits every month. And I culminated over 15 years, many ghost stories from there. And they've got some absolute blinders from down in Hampshire and Surrey. So I thought, I'm going to do a book on that and then go back to Edinburgh for my next one.
Oh, wow, I love that. There's so many, like coming from Australia, there's stories in Australia, but I feel like Scotland in particular has like lots of folklore and lots of tradition and lots of stories. Like you recently did the Bury Man. That was amazing. That was amazing. Go and have a look at that on YouTube. I'm going to put a link in the show notes so you can have a look. But do you have like a favorite sort of folklore sort of myth thing that comes from Scotland? Do you have any off the top of your head that you
From
love?
Scotland, you know what? I'm a bit of, you know, we've got books on the subject. We're doing lots just now. We're doing a project for Halloween all about the witch trials, the Scottish witch trials. So
Oh, yes, I've seen
we've been
that.
getting heavily involved with that. But regards to folklore and stuff, it's I'm not the man to ask. I mean, apart from the Bury Man, you know, that's not I'm not huge on the subject. But however, we have been doing a lot of running about up north, myself and my partner Joss. She's a musician. And she's been doing lots of concerts this year up in Aberdeenshire, up in Perthshire, and they have got many good stories up there. And I'll tell you one of them if you like.
Yeah, I'd love to hear one.
So then what happened was we were up there in Aberdeen. We're at a little place, a folk concert in Inchtrure, which is a tiny little village. And it was wonderful. And, you know, the owners told us about the place where it was in. And it had a ghost. She took us to the graveyard and showed us the man's grave and stuff. And we were going around. We went to a wonderful castle called Auchendoun up in Aberdeenshire. And Joss sings a song about it called The Burning of Auchendoun, about betrayal from the clans and, you know, they massacred the people there. And he came back and knew that the same fate would await him, so he burned his castle to the ground. So we visited the remains of the castle, which was ominous. It was incredible. Went to other castles, you know, around there. I went to Fyvie Castle, which has got lots of folklore, including the Bogal of Lilias Drummond, whose name is carved into the, she's a jilted wife, whose name is carved into the windowsill. But the best one went like this. So we went over to Huntly, which is a small part of Aberdeen. And Joshua said, there's nothing really exciting in Huntly, but we'll go anyway, let you see it. So there's this wonderful castle. It's a ruin. It's you know, you can go for a visit, you pay the guide. And on this day we went, there was one other family there. They were German. And we spoke to them for a little while and they went off. So as I say, it's a ruin. It's not got a roof. It's a wonderful castle. And Joss read a bit about the history of it, about the family who were persecuted for following Catholicism, you know, during the times of the, you know, John Knox and his gang. They were out to rid the world, the Catholics. And she said, what a sad story, you know, the family were beheaded in the end, you know, because they wouldn't stop following them. So she's singing, she says, what a beautiful dynamic in this ruin. She's singing away and singing songs. And said, isn't that nice? And she went on for about 10 minutes. I just let her go. I didn't say a word. And, you know, we wandered around. And the last song she did was one in Latin. And she was kind of hoping, you know, if anyone was still here, that they'd appreciate her singing in Latin. And she finished the song and she said, well, I hope you don't mind me singing. I hope you enjoyed that. And all we heard was bang, massive thud from above. And there was no roof. There was nothing there. There was no crows. There was nothing. And it was almost like a clap to say thanks. And that spooked her. It really did. You know, if she was a non-believer, if she was a skeptic, she certainly believes now.
That's given me goosebumps, you telling me that. And you're very good at telling a
It was
story, I have to
very
say.
good.
Do you sort of, what are your thoughts on the ghostly, for lack of a better word, sort of world? What are your thoughts and beliefs on spirits and things like that? Because you have so much experience.
I was quite skeptical. I mean, it was all other people's stories that fascinated me for so many years, like the one my granddad told me about the man on the boat. There was the one about the Wardy playing fields. It was Lochinvar Camp, and the woman interviewed so many people connecting with that story. And you know, it was you're adding up the possibilities and trying to catch people out, and it all added up. None of them knew one another, so I was still skeptical. I was saying, you know, it's you know. This is an old wives' tale. This doesn't add up. And there was the ones about, I was telling you about Trinity Park House, pinch of salt. And that was until 2014. And what happened to me then changed my whole outlook, my whole view on the whole thing. There's a friend of mine got a job as a security guard at a place in Edinburgh called Craig Crook Castle. Now it's at Blackhall. It's you go down a lovely street,
Oh, yes,
Craig
I know
Crook.
exactly what you mean. Yeah, a few people
Yeah.
have mentioned this castle to me
Yeah.
recently. I don't know why, that's weird.
It's idyllic. And he got the shift there, and it was a 14-hour shift. He said, all you need to do is it's overtime. Is every hour, go round, there's no power, go round with your torch and make sure the place is secure. You can do whatever you want, watch your laptop, whatever. And he says, I'll take that. So he went round, did the walk round, came down, put his, opened his flash, shut the drawer in the little desk in front of him, walked round another hour, right, take a walk around the building. This is so easy, nothing more. Came back down, cup of tea, shut the drawer, kept doing it, said, time for a sandwich, I'll close the drawer first. And he thought, wait a minute, who's opening this drawer? There's nobody in the building except for me. And he thought, oh my God, what's going on? Is this haunted? And the whole shift, it happened about six times or something, this drawer kept opening and closing. God. So he told me about it. He says, I had a spooky old experience recently. He said, if I get the keys again, would you like a look at it? I says, of course, that'd be wonderful. So he did. He got the keys for it. He says, come on, I'll take you around a tour. And it was up for sale. It was, up for £6 million. And the guy that was going to buy it was the actor.
Wow.
Gerard Butler. He was going to buy it.
No.
And he says, yeah, come on. So I had a tour around this place at 11 o'clock at night. And it was amazing, but lots of nice pictures of it. And a castle in the middle of nowhere in a street in Edinburgh. And, it was great. And, nothing spooky happened. So months passed and he says, I've got the keys one more time before we hand over to another company. Do you want to look at this place one last time? I says, too right. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning on a night shift. I says, I'll take my break.
Why would you go at 2 o'clock in the morning? Come on, that's asking for trouble.
It was the last chance to see it. So I went over and I let myself in up the drive, parked the car and came in. I said, how are you doing? He said, should we put the kettle on or shall we do a walk round first? He said, come on, we'll do the walk round.
Now, did you feel nervous before you got there or were you just, no, this is fine?
Not
did
at
you
all.
Feel at all nervous or at all a bit like I could see something or?
Not at all. I was completely fine. I was buzzing about it because I was excited. And I was also a bit tired because I was on night shift. It was 2 a.m. And I says, well, we'll take a walk round to make sure the place is secure. So we went round the first floor, walked along, absolutely fine. Went up these spiral staircases to the second floor and then a door opened by itself. I thought that could have been a floorboard or anything. So we proceeded along the corridor, the both of us. And at that point, there was a big brass door handle, fell off directly in front of my feet. And at that point, my friend who was in front of me, a door went like that. And there was a huge scent of like flowers went past us. And at that point, we ran out the building. Both of us ran for our life. And I says, I'm not going back in there again. And he went, I'm not either. I'm doing the rest of the shift in my car. And
my God.
I've since spoke about this several times and says, I'm not going to say a word what happened that night. And he tells it exactly how I've told you, how I remember it. And it was the way I described the smell was like if you walk past like a fan, like in a bathroom, like an extractor fan. And if there's an air freshener in the bathroom and you smell the air freshener, that's what it was like blowing down the hall, just very briefly. And this door slammed with such force that it, hit off the wall. And there was nobody there to do it. That was the other thing. And after that experience, I've been a believer. I thought there was nothing could have possibly done that unless it was a fantastical or a supernatural factor involved.
Wow. And did you feel really scared?
Yes. I was terrified. It was the ferocity of the noise of the door slamming, the handle. And it all happened so fast. That was in a matter of 30 seconds or something. And I was, my friend was absolutely sweating like nobody's business. I was, breathing like, get me out of here. And it was just the shock of it all. There was nothing else involved. We just ran from the place. Now, remember, it's pitch dark. There's no power.
Yeah, this was with torches. None of those things are good. None of those things.
So after that, it's. I wouldn't like to say you're looking for things. But I have been in a few predicaments where there has been things I can't explain. So, I'd say, my whole take on the whole thing is I believe it now.
Mm-hmm. Would you stay in a castle that you knew was haunted overnight?
Yeah, I plan to in the future because that's what we're going to be doing a future book on. But I've spent the night in other places that aren't castles overnight that are haunted or reputedly haunted with paranormal groups doing investigations. So we did one in the pub Whistle Binkies on the Nidgeck Street vaults. Did that during lockdown. And that was spooky. There was a lot of activity recorded with that. It's on the YouTube channel. We did a night in the Nidgeck Street vaults which was a disaster. There was nothing happened. You know, it was all far too many people talking and stuff. Yeah. And then we did one in the biscuit factory in Leith, which is, you know,
Well, I've just been there for the comedy festival.
Oh, yeah. So, you know,
yeah, that's an amazing building. Yeah. And what happened there? Did anything happen there?
Yeah. I mean, they've not reviewed the footage yet for some reason. Okay. The guys that did it, you know, because it's massive. I mean, they had lots of cameras set around the whole building. It's so much work, but they're working on it now. There was a couple of instances where they picked up voices. There was a profanity said towards me, quite a strong profanity.
Well, it was in Leith.
Yeah, but there are other connecting factors. There are people interviewed with their own stories from the biscuit factory that we've put in our episode of all kinds of things. They call the ghost Stevie. They've nicknamed it Stevie and the ghost. But yeah, we got some things there that night. But it won't be till we really examine it and go back, we'll see exactly what we caught because there's so many cameras set up.
Yeah.
But we're there all night.
That's so interesting. Are there any parts of Edinburgh that you would really like to do a walking tour of that you haven't done yet? Like, is Leith interesting to you? Because I'm sure there must be stories.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Marty. Because next year we can, you know, announce that we will be doing a ghost walking. We'll be doing Persevere, the Restless Ghosts of Leith, and we'll be starting that hopefully in April. We're mapping it out just now. We've got many good stories. Both my parents are born and bred Leithers, born in 1936. The year when kids that year were born, they were given a half crown as a way to give them a good start in life. And they both looked upon that. They were born and bred Leithers because of that. So I thought I need to owe that to them, to their memory, to do a walk around where they grew up.
That is going to be amazing, isn't it? We should say for the American listeners, it was sort of like considered a bit of a dodgy area, wasn't it, Leith?
Oh, yeah,
it's been a bit gentrified.
A port, so it was. It was full of sailors and ruffians and all kinds of dodgy characters. And it's got the stories to match.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I'm so excited for that. Is there anywhere in the UK you'd really like to do tours around or like you'd really like to delve more into any specific areas?
Yes. Well, as I was saying in this last book, you know, it was 15 years of research doing that. Mm-hmm. Right? I went all over Surrey and Hampshire. I went to the Isle of Wight, was an incredible place to visit. So it's got so many stories. You know, the most haunted island in the world. I mean, it holds the title of that.
No, is it really?
It's the most haunted island in the world.
Oh, my God. I had no idea about that.
Yes, the Isle of Wight is incredible. And it's one of these things that's stuck in time. It's the most expensive ferry ticket as well in the world because it's such a short distance. And it costs, you know, I don't know what it is to get there. So it kind of keeps it a bit elitist because of that. But it's got its incredible dark history to the Isle of Wight. But it's great. But regards to other places, there's a place, a colleague at work is away down south to Gloucestershire this weekend. And she she was looking up places to visit. And there's a place down near Stroud called the Ancient Ram Inn. And I would love to visit that place. And this is this very old building back to the 1100s. And it's got all kinds of ghost stories about it. And it's very active. They do lots of tours there and stuff. So that's, if it was a case of me joining a tour as a person, you know, visiting, that's the one I'd love to go to, is this ancient ram. And the group, the paranormal group, Spirit Vision Paranormal Research, that I do the investigation with, they've done a night in there. And it was good. It wasn't, you know, things throwing at you and jumping out, but it was quite an atmosphere, you know. And the fact that owner had recently passed, who'd been there for many years, John, his daughter runs it now. So yeah, I'd love to go there one day.
What are your thoughts on, like, I know that you do lots of overnight things and stuff with that group. What are your thoughts on that? Because there's a lot of TV shows where, you know, they have the playback and it sounds like someone's talking and, you know, all that sort of stuff. What do you sort of think about all that sort of paranormal
group? I like some of these shows. I've seen some of the American ones and stuff. And I think a lot of it is for entertainment purposes. You know, I don't think they take themselves too seriously. I'm not saying that they're falsified by no means, but I think, you know, they quote in small print that it's for entertainment purposes. I really, it's hard to tell how true some of them are, but they're certainly entertaining. But here's an example for you. So I was saying about the Nidri Street vaults, and we went there. Mm-hmm. So there was a group from Glasgow, come knock, there was our group from Cheshire. There was a guy who was a psychic medium from Hampshire came up, and there was other friends. So there was far too many people all talking and all setting up equipment and stuff. And we were looking for things like to go bump in the night, go, what was that? What was that? Yeah. I remember the most funny bit of all was about 3 in the morning, 3:30. I said, can you smell that? I can smell something scented, a sort of flora. Yes, it's getting stronger towards here, towards the wall. Can you smell it? Citrus. Yes, I'm getting citrus. It was the guy in the pub next door mopping the floor. It was the smell of flash or something like that, you know. So I think that you can go looking for things that aren't necessarily there. I find the things that you notice the most are the things that catch you by surprise, you know. I mean, I've spoke to, you know, people that have been on, you know, investigations, and they have seen seriously scary things. But certainly with the Whistle Binkies episode, when we were in there, the host and his wife had this device. And have you been in Whistle Binkies?
Yeah.
The little catacombs towards the back. They had this little device with a cat's toy on it that lit up if you went near it. And they were asking questions about, you know, somebody from there. And it was reacting every time Sarah and the owner Morvan, or the manageress Morvan, were asking the questions. And they, you know, were chatting for ages, and they were saying, you know, was a man bad to you? Did you die here? Were you, you know, abused by a man? Were you beaten? And I said to them, what makes you think it's a woman you're talking to? And at that point, it just stopped. I said, the two ghosts in there are male. There's one called the Watcher and one called Mr. Boots, I believe. And it never spoke to them again, almost like they'd exposed it.
They're not good names. They are not good. I don't want to meet a ghost called the Watcher. That is not good.
So that was funny, but it was one of those things that, you know, we didn't, you know, kind of expect it. It wasn't like you were looking for it to happen. So, yeah, in regards to these shows, I don't know if some of them are made for entertainment or if they're real. I'd never like to say, you know.
Yeah. Do you think people, like some people, are just looking for things when they go on these tours and stuff? Like, they're just looking for it, and so they find it. And then there's other people that, like my husband, who you've met, who doesn't believe anything, so they're not really open to that stuff. Do you think that's a thing, maybe?
Well, we've had a couple of interesting ones recently. It's funny you should say that, Marty, because the Portobello one, now, we said that, Kerry and I, we say, now we can absolutely tell you now, we're not going to have anyone jumping out at you, the jumper outers. We don't have any of that. We don't have any gimmicks and stuff. You know, it's more a historical book. It's you know, some spooky stories in the mix and stuff, but it's a bit of history and everything. So we're not into the giving you jump fright. And it was one of the walks in, and there was a certain story. I'm not going to say which one to give it away, but there was one of the first stories, and somebody got quite offended. He says, you know, watch it, you know, who you're pushing to a person next to them. And to be honest, I wasn't anywhere near you. And he says, you know, don't stand so close to me. And there was nobody there, but something touched her on the shoulder. In the same spot, sometime later, there was a group of people maybe in their late 20s. And she said to Kerry, she says, my arms went dead. She says, I can't feel more, I can't move it. It's like somebody's hit me and given me a dead arm. And it was always at the same spot on this walk. And I think in the end, there was three different events. There was something to do with someone that was drawn to a wall there. And that was a lot of coincidence that it was always at the same spot it happened. We didn't tell anybody this until afterwards. Yeah. That was the same bit where the person was standing that got touched before. So, you know, we couldn't have falsified that. That was people coming to us afterwards that never met one and said, you know, that was a bit odd. But they didn't think it was anything spooky. They were just thinking, you know, oh, what's that? What's the matter with me? You know, that was interesting.
That's really weird. Do you have any other things that, like, have you had many other things happen? Like anything weird. I know my video slowed down, didn't it?
That was a spooky one.
I didn't falsify that at all.
So we're on the subject, but I'm not actually going to dwell on that story too much, because just now we really think that it's a bad story to talk about, because there's been other things happen since that, you know, I'll tell you about another time. So we don't even want to mention that story. We're playing with fire a little bit with it. But anyway, but that was very spooky. you know, what happened.
That's freaked me out now.
It was, I showed Kerry it. And, you know, I said, well, first of all, it's always you when things go wrong on camera. Sound messes.
Yes, he said that.
Four times or something it's happened when we're filming. It's always Kerry that causes the trouble.
I said that to Effie because she had been to that tour. That was the one tour she had been on of yours. And I sent it to her and she freaked out and said, are you messing around? Have you done something to that camera? And I'm like, why would I do that? It's freaked me out as well. She deleted it off her phone. Yeah. I'm like, it's on my phone. I don't know why you're deleting it off yours.
Well, what I can tell you is the story we were talking about that time, every time we talk about it, something bad happens. It's almost like a jinx. It's like a curse, that story. So we've stopped telling it because of that.
Wow.
And recently, you know, there's been sort of other unfolding bad luck stories with it. So,
okay. That is a well known story, though, in Edinburgh.
It's a very well known story.
I had heard of it long before. Yeah. I'd heard of it years and years before. Yeah. Mm. So that's really interesting.
But I got another really good one recently. And this, as a matter of fact, this could be an exclusive for you because I don't think I've told that on anything.
Check us.
I don't think I have. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that, but I don't think I have. And it's going to be coming up. I'll tell you, it's going to be coming up in the future on the website Spooky Isles. That'll be coming up later in the month, but you'll get an exclusive on this one.
So okay,
I was interviewing a woman from the area where I live, up in Newington. And she was telling me that one morning, she walks her dog in the morning to Newington Cemetery. And he loves it, runs around the cemetery. She has a nice walk around. It's a very tranquil place. She tends to the graves because there's a lot of children's graves, you know, died in infancy. She puts flowers on the graves and talks to them and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a residence group that look after the cemetery too. So this morning she's in the grave and, you know, she knows the graves inside out. And there's one grave, and it's maybe 100-year-old, and it's still got a nice reflection on it on the granite surface. And she saw something she describes as spindly legs walking the reflected in the graveyard.
Now,
our dog's a little black dog, and she just thought it was him, but walking upright. So anyway, then she sees the reflection of the dog looking at her over the other side of the cemetery. She thought, well, it wasn't him.
Oh,
so she's going, what on earth was that? Nothing there. There's nobody around early in the morning, but she saw it clear as day reflection, a little spindly black legs walking around her.
Oh, not spindly legs. Oh, my God.
So she spoke to me and we came out and she says, well, you have a wee look at it. And I said, because a lot of people get in touch with me out of the blue and say, will you look at this spooky story? So I says, right, so this is the grave. And I says, where was these legs you saw? And I says, I'm going to move around the graveyard. Tell me when. Tell me when you see a shape reflecting. She's like, move. She went, right there, stop. She says, I can see you now. That's where it would have been standing, the reflection, you know, and it says, that's perfect. I says, right. First of all, what makes you think that it's associated with the grave, the reflection? She says, what do you mean? I says, look where I'm standing. She goes, oh, I've never noticed that. There was a really old grave lying beside where I was standing, and it was covered in moss, it was covered in grass. She went, oh, God, she says, look at that. It must have been fell over and put down, like so many of them are. So we uncovered the grass and stuff, and I says, maybe it's trying to tell you something. The name on the grave was a relative of hers.
She didn't know that they were buried there.
Never knew the grave existed.
Oh, now, my God.
So it gets weirder. So she says, right away, she just says, that name, I've got family members with that name, and the name is Aitchison. So she's a great one for doing research. Can you remember on... No, you've not been on the Portobello Walk, have you?
No.
Right, anyway, so she did a lot of research on one of the stories and that and uncovered a lot about a family history attached to it. So she did the same with this. She said, right, I'm going to look into this. And it turns out that the man buried there was her great uncle. And he died in the Eyemouth fishing disaster of 1881 when so many people were killed in this perfect storm scenario where they shouldn't have went out to sea, but they did because they needed the fish. And there was people from New Haven, there was people from Musselburgh, people from Eyemouth, Dunbar, all died in this terrible storm. And one of the men was her great uncle who was buried there. And she's even got a picture of him.
Oh, my God.
What
are the chances of that happening?
To say the story sent shiver down her spine is an understatement.
Has she been back since then?
Well, yeah, she's still...
And seen. Has she seen anything?
Nothing since.
Okay.
I mean, she goes there. She took a break from it, I must add. She didn't go for a little while. But she still goes there now. And, you know, she says, you know, that was... It actually feels at ease now, she says. She says she's not spooked by it because of the revelation. Somebody may have been reaching out to get her attention.
Do you think that's what it was? He was, like, showing her that he was there?
I think so. I mean, we can't say for sure, but it was such a coincidence that when she uncovered the moss, the grave, there was different names on it. There was his wife's name, and it was the name Aitchison caught her attention. She went, I've got relatives called Aitchison. And he was a direct relative.
The chances, that is an amazing story. I do not like the spindly legs, though. If you can tell it without the spindly legs next time, that's less creepy.
So she imagine this little dog, little black dog. She says he never walks upright on both legs.
God. Oh, I don't want to see that either. I mean, I know it's nearly Halloween, and this will be going out just before Halloween. Yeah. But oh my God. No, so you never failed to disappoint with that.
That was one of my recent ones that I thought, that's a good one. You have to tell that something.
That is absolutely amazing. I know you did actually have a story to tell us as well. I know you've told us like three or four stories, but I know you had another specific story.
Yeah, I've got many, many good ones to tell you.
Do you have a favourite?
Oh, let me think about this.
Because, you know, I could listen to you all day. I could just sit here for literally another 6 hours and go, tell me a story about this, tell me a story about this.
Well, can you remember the one about the hospice? I think your listeners would like that one. It's a nice story.
Yes, I do remember this one. Okay. Yeah, this is a nice story, especially after the spindly legs.
Yeah. So there's a lady that comes on some of the walks called Judith. And Judith was a nurse at the hospital in Trinity, the St. Columbus Hospice, for many years before she retired. And she said there was a recurring sighting in the building where patients would come to her and say, excuse me, nurse, my dad would like to go to sleep, and my mum would like to go to sleep. Can you get the little dog to leave the room? He's on the bed. She says, oh, of course. She's sorry. She says, oh, he's away. He must have jumped off. She said, there's never been a dog there. Lots of people have seen this dog. Little dog says there's no dog. And it came to be known because of this as the Ghost Dog of Ward 9. So sometime later, when the Columbus Hospice was demolished and rebuilt, they actually found a box beneath Ward 9, and it contained the bones of a small dog buried. And I'd like to think that they returned them, they put them back and, you know, rebuilt it. So when Judith retired, she started doing a lot of digging on this story. She had lots of time on her hands to visit libraries and, you know, the Library of Scotland, and she found all this fascinating information. So the building, it's you know, always been known as Challenger Lodge, which, you know, goes back to, you know, 100-odd years ago. It was a children's home for many years for children with polio, with, you know, disabilities to their limbs. And there was many kind of children's homes in the area, and there's lots of good stories attached to them, you know, not so much spooky ones, quite nice stories. So she says that on occasion, you could even hear children sort of playing in the depths of this building that wasn't part of the hospice. It was where they got changed. And she said that some of the stuff she uncovered about Challenger Lodge, when it was a children's home, there is footage of a short silent movie called The Chief's Day Out. And in this same short film, there was a very famous famous policeman called William Merrilies, OBE. And Willie Merrilies was one of these real Leith characters where he'd go around undercover in the Curgate dressed as an old woman, and he'd listen to all the gossip, what people were saying. And on occasion, people would try and steal his handbag and he'd arrest them, he'd jump and grab them. Stories about him, all kinds of great stories. So in this short film, he goes to the zoo and he visits a children's home. Now, he's famous for bringing celebrities and actors and stuff to visit the kids. There was one along the road from you, down near Trinity School, and it was a children's home, and he brought the famous cowboy Roy Rogers and his wife to visit the children. And there was a famous story where one of the children actually was got adopted by them, and she came and lived in America with Roy Rogers. And the BBC did a documentary interviewing her about it. So there's lots of nice stories. So anyway, in this, he brings a famous actor of the day to visit the children, and he walks in with this actor under his arm, and the children are all meeting the actor and clapping the actor. And the actor is the small dog that played Greyfriars Bobby in the 1962 Disney film. So in this short film, he, you know, puts the dog with the children, they're all playing with it, and the dog stays with the children. He goes away and waves goodbye. And that's what Judith thinks, is that this little dog that everyone sees running about the hospice is the ghost of the actor dog that played Greyfriars Bobby, which came to be known as the ghost dog of Ward 9.
I did not realise that it was that dog. That is such a lovely story, isn't it?
I believe there was several dogs played the part in the Disney movie, but this was one of the actors. And there's pictures of it visiting nightclubs when they were opening in Edinburgh. What? It was the guest of honour, this dog that was Greyfriars Bobby. So he lived out his days in the, you know, Columbus Challenger Lodge before it was the hospice, and he still is seen today.
Oh my God, that's so lovely. I love stories, like you do often hear stories around hospices and things like that, and people who are ending their lives. And there's often really nice stories that you hear about that.
Judith told me another good one, that when she worked there, and there was one time she went to a room and she saw a man in his bed and he had a visitor, and she said, "I'm terribly sorry, I never realised." And she came out and thought, "Wait a minute, it's late, there's no visitors." And what she describes as, she felt like she walked in on a very private moment. And when she went in, the man was dead, he'd passed in that short time. And then she realised that the man that was in visiting him was himself. He was holding his own hand as his spirit left the body. She presumes he was wearing a very smart suit. And when the man was working, he was a headmaster, and that was how he dressed every day, with this nice smart suit. Yeah. It was almost like he was saying farewell as he passed, you know. And I always thought that was another great story, you know, about our time there.
Oh my God, that's given me goosebumps. You've never told me that story. I love that. We're ending on that story. You cannot beat that story. Oh my God, that was absolutely amazing. You have such a way of telling a story, I think.
Yes,
not even really. Like, I know we're doing it on Zoom, but like when you're in person and everything as well, you just generally have such a way with telling a story. You're so good at like building it, and there's just something about the way you do it.
I get lots of practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the ghost walks.
You're amazing. You're so amazing at telling a story, I think. And the ghost walks especially, they're not, you don't try to make them overly dramatic or scary, but you have a way, like with your voice, the way you rise and fall, and you just have such a way with being able to tell a story. I could listen to you talk all day. I've raved about you to so many people. We definitely need to get you back on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. I'll have to come on and tell you some of the grim stories as a murderer.
Oh, yes.
Lots of those for you.
We maybe need to do that, I think.
We can do a separate one if you want, because there's some great stories on the Portobello one, you know, could tell you about and stuff.
Yeah. And maybe we'll do a horrifying one.
Yes, we could do this. There's some, you'll have to come on this walk and hear some of them. You know?
I know. So people can find you at North Edinburgh Nightmares on Instagram, is that right?
Yes.
And what about your YouTube channel? What's that under?
Yeah, that's North Edinburgh Nightmares too. But all the link, a link to John Tantallon on Linktree will take you to the books. It'll take you to the ghost walks. Yeah. Take you to everything on there. They're all linked together on Linktree.
Brilliant. Okay, and we will put links in our show notes if you would like to come find John. I highly recommend going to the YouTube channel, because I've watched literally hours of stories on the YouTube channel, and I've done your walks already, but I've still spent so long on the YouTube channel. It's amazing.
Well, the next thing we're really excited about is we're doing this thing here. I don't know if you've seen that. This one. Have you seen this one?
Yes.
Yes.
Now that's coming up very soon, isn't it?
Yes, that's going to be Halloween, the 28th of October. We're doing that one. It's called Tales from the Witch's Sabbath. And that's in Portobello at Belfield Celebration Hall, which is a wonderful venue. It's an old church. And we're going to be doing something new. It's going to be a collaboration of storytelling and song with my partner Joss and Amy Dudley, who are their fellow musicians. They're going to be doing songs of the witch trials of the Scottish witches. And I'm going to be telling the stories in between. So it's going to be singing and stories, singing and stories. It's great. We're very buzzed about this. We've been rehearsing a lot. We're looking forward to that one.
that's going to be an amazing collaboration, I think. People are so interested in witches, aren't they, and the witch trials. Yes. And
it's a tragic, very tragic story. It's not until you actually start to research it. And, you know, we've been reading an awful lot about some of the cases, you know, even nearby, I'm close to home, and it's horrendous, you know, how it went on, you know, and all kinds of, you know, questions about it, you know, just, you know, how it was allowed to go on. We've been, that's one of the things we'll be discussing in the Leith Walk, is, you know, the Leith Witch Finder.
You know, I cannot wait for the Leith one. Watch out for that in our stories. That's going to be coming. Thank you so much. I could literally sit here for another 5 hours and just ask you 100 more questions. You know what I'm like. But thank you so much for taking some time out, because I know you're incredibly, incredibly busy.
No problem.
But yeah, we will put all the links in the show notes. So go and have a look at John and North Edinburgh Nightmares. But thank you so much. That was absolutely amazing.
Brilliant. Thanks for having me.
No worries. And we will catch you all very soon. Thank you so much for listening to Mum's Mysteries and Murder. You can drop us a DM on Instagram. Please have a look at Foxbox Detectives. We have a promo code in our show notes where you can get money off. They're amazing, amazing cases that would be an amazing Halloween present for a true crime fan. And we will see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.